I posted my article and they're responding.
You mean they believed you?
More than that. They want to help. Look.
This guy says he saw DeVoe on 5th and Knoll 2 days ago.
Yeah, and another guy on Crescent and 10th.
This is great. Iris, this means DeVoe can't hide from us anymore.
Welcome to episode number 112 of Central City Underground. We are here to talk about The Flash on the CW. This week was season 4, episode 21. It was called Harry and the Harrisons. This is Julia, a.k.a. the Elfie One.
And Jada, a.k.a. Story's Voice. This week on The Flash, Team Flash devises a plan to take down DeVoe's satellites. To do this, they must team up with Eminent Black. Caitlin forms a plan to try and reawaken Killer Frost. And meanwhile, Cisco helps Harry come to terms with his new condition by creating the Council of Harrisons. Wow. Yeah, this is a crazy one. This week, the director was Kevin Mock. This is actually his first episode of The Flash. He's done a couple of episodes for Legends of Tomorrow. We have the writers Judah Lena Neera, who's done like 30 plus episodes for The Flash. So like she's been there for a while. And we also have Lauren Certo, both names that we know. Much like Julina, she's done a lot for The Flash and also Arrow and Justice League and Vixen, a bunch of stuff. So we got a pretty good team. The writers we know, the director is new, but I liked it. It was cool. It was all right. It was enjoyable. Actually, the question is, how enjoyable was it? How enjoyable was it to you?
Well, I might have enjoyed it less than you did. I didn't like this episode very much at all. I gave it 6 out of 10 Councils of Dum-Dums.
Oh, well, yes. Council of Dum-Dums, that's great. That's good. Yeah, you didn't like this that much. I gave it 7. 7 severed eye snakes.
Ah.
Yeah, those eye snakes.
Yeah.
That was gross.
Gross. So gross.
Yeah, it was an alright episode. It was pretty good. It was not a bad episode. But then again, it didn't feel like it was a great episode. And to be honest, I was going to give it a little bit less than 7, closer. I was thinking like 6.5, but I was like, nothing that really bothered me. I'll go with 7. But now I see maybe it wasn't that great of an episode.
Well, maybe you'll change my mind through the podcast. Okay. But yeah, I definitely had some issues. I think a lot of it with the writing this week. We had two different storylines that kind of culminated in "it was inside of you all along" sort of things that, you know, it felt like, you know, stuff we've kind of rehashed before, but it also just felt like kind of filler. I missed DeVoe and Marlies. They set us up last week to possibly get Marlies in on more of the action against DeVoe. We don't have that many episodes left, so it's a little late to have filler episodes. I didn't love it. But there were some things that I did like about it. And with that in mind, why don't we jump into our Flash faves?
Let's do it.
So the first thing that I do really like about this episode is that they seem to have somewhat of a plan going forward, taking into account DeVoe's many powers, because we've harped on them, you know, going after him in all these different ways without any sort of real plan, and always kind of forgetting that Kilgore has that technological advantage over them. So it's nice to see them starting to really sort of think out of the box, think in terms of defeating him with his powers in mind.
Yeah, I totally agree. Them having a plan was it actually feels strange. and I didn't realize until they formulated the plan, and I guess it's more than formulating or having a plan. They actually started to execute it, and it might work, which is a lot further than they've gotten the rest of the season. I guess that's a good thing. Yeah, that's an awesome thing.
Yeah,
we'll see how it works out. But like you said, yeah, it's almost as if we couldn't afford this episode because it was filler with only, what, 2 episodes left?
Yeah.
But at least they got a plan. That's a good thing.
Yes. What was your first fave?
You know, my first favorite thing was Amunet's story arc.
Okay.
I really enjoyed where they went with her this week. I think the last time we saw Amunette, I was kind of annoyed. She was, and it was just the way she was written, but she seemed just so much over the top than need be.
I still thought she was pretty over the top this week.
You know, and I thought about that too, and I thought, you know, she's over the top this week because Amunette's over the top, as opposed to it being written in such an outrageous fashion as just glaringly over the top. This, I think I could attribute to her personality as opposed to the writing.
Okay. Then maybe it's just Amunette's personality that really turns me off then, because I just kind of can't stand her anymore. It was fun at first, but now I just, I don't know. But I do agree with you that she had a cool story this week. It's just the performance itself that's rubbing me the wrong way.
Okay, cool. That's interesting. It's a good look at it because I'm the exact opposite. It's amazing how that happens. I love her performance, but before it was the writing. So I guess it all comes out in the wash. Yeah. That's great.
So my second fave is finally, again, getting back to Iris as a journalist.
Yeah.
I have really missed that about her, and finally she's doing something and, you know, putting her skills to use and in a way that may or may not help to defeat DeVoe in the end.
You're right. I thought that was great as well. And the interesting part about that is the point of even if her journalism skills don't help defeat DeVoe in the end, it's good to see her regaining who she is as far as yes. character development. Something outside of simply the plot, you know, but actual character development. That's good. That's good. I mean, especially in a character that's been around since the beginning of the series, to have her developing still is good. Is good. Yes.
Yeah. And what was your final fave?
You know, my final fave was Joe revealing Galen's secrets.
Ah, yes.
I thought that was great because we all know secrets are bad. Right. We all scream at the television.
Haven't we learned every time by someone now? Has
yes. Stop. Don't keep secrets. But I really enjoyed that. A, I enjoyed it because it was, like I just said, you know, breaking the pattern of secrets. But B, the way that they responded to it, Caitlin was like, oh, really, dude? You know, she had that look on her face of, are you just going to call me out? Yeah, and I also really enjoyed the way the team handled it, because I believe it was Barry that was just kind of matter-of-factly, oh, so you've got a secret, you're holding a secret, why didn't you tell us? Why didn't you, you know? And I guess it wasn't a big, you know, earth-shattering secret or anything that was going to tear the team apart, but it was just the idea of, let's squash the secrets, and Joe wasn't having it, he was frustrated, and I really enjoyed it.
Good, yeah, me too. How about we move on to our next segment? Which we call PowerPoints. All right, that was pretty good. That was pretty good.
Yeah, there was some. Oh yeah, there was some interesting PowerPoints.
Yeah, what do you want to talk about?
Okay, you know what? I really want to talk about the end of it, the whirlwind of metal.
Yes. That is also the first thing that I wrote down. The tornado of shards.
Yeah.
What an exit! That was very cool.
Yeah. I liked her character and I liked her portrayal. So for me, that was great. That was wonderful just to see her say goodbye and just twirl off like a, I don't even know. It was great.
Honestly the coolest use of her powers, I think, that we have seen yet.
Yes. I have to say, I was not expecting that whatsoever.
But I do kind of wonder how she can see where she's going.
You know, I wondered about several things, but I was just like, it looks cool.
Maybe she left herself a couple of eye holes in the tornado, but it just seemed to be kind of swirling.
And for that matter, like, I guess she made herself a platform to stand on. I don't know.
Yeah, she just sort of encased herself in shards and swirled away.
Yeah, they did it well enough so that I was satisfied.
Right.
What do you like? What do you have to discuss?
Well, my next point is a question about Sisko's powers, because, again, toward the end, I think it was toward the end, they wondered if he could breach the shards at the satellites, and he said, no, my breaches can't make it to outer space. Well, if he can breach to alternate Earths, how can he not breach into outer space on his own Earth.
You know, I thought about that. And I think I've come to the conclusion that it's simply what they say. He can't reach distances, just places.
Is another Earth not a huge distance away?
It's a vibration away.
Okay.
And I know that sounds super cheesy. According to the science, it literally is a vibration away.
Okay.
It's all vibrating on a different level, but in the same space.
Hmm.
So technically, he's not breaching very far distance, just
to when another... they breach to another Earth, they're not always breaching to the exact same location on that other Earth. Plus, he can breach to other locations on his own Earth. I'm just saying.
No, you know what? You are 1,000% correct. If he can breach to China, which I haven't seen him do, but obviously he can breach to China.
I believe it.
That's a certain distance.
Yeah.
Not a place. And if you were to take that same distance and simply extend it from where he's standing into the atmosphere, sure, he can breach into the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm.
So,
couldn't they just get at the satellites before they reach the atmosphere? Like, if they can be quick enough.
You know, I think the satellites are already up. I think they're already there.
Oh, are they?
Place. Yeah.
Okay.
That was my understanding. I might be wrong. Let us know, everybody.
Up there.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
But hey, you know what? You changed my mind on that. You're right. Totally. He could have done that.
I'm just saying, I don't think we've seen him even try to breach to space. So
yeah.
I don't know how he thinks he can't do it. Try harder, Sisko.
Sisko just doesn't have that confidence he needs. He so often is like, well, I just can't.
It is inside of him all along.
Oh, no. Oh, no. No, no, no. Oh, God. I hope
he can do it if he just tries really hard.
As much as that is a positive lesson to learn, come on.
I believe somebody in the Facebook group also asked, why can't Barry throw lightning at the satellites? And I thought, another good question. I don't know. Maybe Barry can't throw lightning that far. Maybe the satellites already are in space. And so.
But it's lightning. Yeah, no, you know what? Never mind.
I don't know. We can move on. What other PowerPoints do you have?
You know, something that I found questionable, and if we can consider it valid, I'll be impressed, is Barry identifying specific chemical compounds within his body.
Hmm.
How do you do that one, buddy?
And you're talking about the venom inside of him, correct?
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes. Okay. Yes. when the... Ice snakes spit the venom. Yeah.
Right. So, yeah, he did. I mean, obviously, he knew he had been sprayed with the venom. They did seem to know a little bit about that venom. Not only did he identify it inside of his body, but earlier when they were scraping it off of the walls of the shipping container, Caitlin identified it simply by putting it in a vial and looking at it after swirling it around. So I assumed they had studied this venom from a previous episode. I could be wrong about that. I don't remember them doing that, but they did seem to know a lot about it.
Okay. No, my issue with it is you can know all that you want to about that venom, but when it's in you, that knowledge doesn't do any good. Like, just because you know about the venom doesn't mean you should be able to phase through it.
Well, yeah, and that was Iris's idea. Iris was the one who said, well, we don't have any antidote for metavenom, so you're going to have to phase through it. Which, I mean, good honor for thinking of that, I guess. And it worked. But, yeah, he did. He phased through this one substance inside of his body. Is that what you mean by identifying the substance?
Oh, yes. Because,
okay, now I understand what your question was. Yeah. That he could separate that one particular substance from inside of his body to phase through. Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
Good that's question.
Strange.
I mean, he could phase like a piece of metal out of his body. I think, you know, so maybe it's just a thing he could do.
But that's a solid foreign object.
Yeah.
That's understandable, but that's like saying he could phase only the oxygen out of his blood and keep the nitrogen and all the others. I don't know. It's weird. It's hand wavy, I guess.
It is pretty hand wavy. It's a good question.
What do you got for us?
Well, the last sort of PowerPoint that I had is something that I think we'll probably talk about a little bit in our plot discussion as well, but Killer Frost. So, if Killer Frost is still inside of Caitlin, if all she has to do is, you know, figure out a way to think her up or whatever it is, what did DeVoe do to her? I mean, we all assumed that he used that meta power from Melting Point to steal her power, which seemed like the obvious thing since he had the power to steal another metahuman's power. What else could it be? But then we find that that wasn't it. So I have a hard time believing that DeVoe just sort of used some psychic thing on her and was like, ha, ah, you will now believe that you no longer have superpowers. And so she just did and can't manifest Killer Frost anymore. I don't know. I'm so confused about that whole thing.
Okay. The way that I see it is that she had her experience with Amunette. She wanted to do something about Killer Frost. Amunette used the splicer. It didn't work.
Right.
So any progress she made on her own. So that means everything all the way up until the point of her being touched by DeVoe was simply her operating on her own. When DeVoe touched
her. She heard the word melt, and she convinced herself that she didn't have Killer Frost anymore?
No. Up until that point, once she touched DeVoe, DeVoe, I believe, used Melting Point's power and took Killer Frost away. The only new information that we really received this week was that her past experience had been all in her mind. It's weird the way it was written because it seems as if they're telling us, Caitlin, you can just be Frost again if you think about it, but we know that's not true. She's been trying to do that. So we just learned that she was deceived about her powers in the past, and now she's in a kerfuffle. I mean, she's in trouble. Melting Point took her, or the Melting Point power took her powers. That is true. She still has to figure out a way to get them back, but now she's just angry about it. That's the only difference.
I thought the last time we saw her trying to get her powers back, when Sisko was blasting her, I thought that they said Melting Point hadn't been the thing that had taken it away. There was a whole thing about that. Maybe I'm misremembering it, but...
Oh, no, I could be totally wrong. I was under the impression that DeVoe had used the Melting Point power to take away the dark matter that was in her, but there was a speck of it left or something.
Okay.
I don't know. Yeah, we'll have to get clarity on that. It's all weird because you're correct. If you're correct and he didn't use the Melting Point power, he did something to her. So we know he affected her. When he said melt and whatever power he used, I guess that's what they have to figure out, if he put some kind of psychological block in her brain or...
That is possible. But he does have the mind control from Dominic, so which I kind of forget about, actually, because he's got so many other powers that he uses. Honestly, he really only needs the one. You know,
he's got so many powers and in such combinations that it makes it hard to track.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, we'll see what happens. Hopefully we'll see Killer Frost again by the end of this season.
Oh, yeah. I guess we'll talk about that later. Yes. Yeah. You know, I had one final PowerPoint.
Okay.
This is kind of plot device-y, but concerning DeVoe's shape-shifting.
Uh-huh. I think I know what you're going to say.
Does he just not... do that anymore? I mean, is he just permanently DeVoe?
At the end of the episode, when Barry said, he can't hide from us anymore, I immediately said out loud to the TV, he can look like anybody.
Yeah.
So, yeah, of course he can hide from you. He can literally turn into any person he wants.
I promise you, Barry, if... someone spotted DeVoe, it's because he wanted them to.
Yes. And also, how do we know that these people actually spotted DeVoe? You know, when something like that happens, all kinds of people are going to start saying, oh, yeah, I think I saw that guy down the street the other day. And they probably didn't. It was, you know, some other guy who looks like him or whatever. But, yeah, I'm hoping somebody points that out to Barry and Iris next week. Because they've clearly forgotten that the man is a shapeshifter.
Yeah, Remember your friend Dibney? Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Do you have anything else for PowerPoint? Any
other PowerPoints? I think we should start talking about this episode.
Let's do it. Where do you want to jump in?
Well, I think, if you don't mind, I think we should do kind of a plot-by-plot thing today.
Let's do it.
Okay, let's start with our A-plot, and I think that would be the Amunet story.
Yes.
And for an episode called Harry and the Harrisons, really, it seemed more to be about Amunet and Catelyn and this whole journey to get something to defeat DeVoe, as it kind of should be. You know, our whole goal is to defeat DeVoe, so I know that's what Harry's working on, too, but it just seemed like this was what it was more about this week. Anyway, so they know that he is going to place satellites around the Earth, or perhaps he has already placed satellites, we're not quite sure, at specific locations around the Earth, and they know that they need to take those satellites down, but somehow avoid Kilgore's power. So they decide that they need to figure out some sort of organic matter weapon to shoot it down, which is smart.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely, absolutely. They're learning from Kilgore, right?
Yeah.
I do have one question, though.
Yeah.
Why didn't they just call Supergirl? Like, hey, go blow these satellites real quick. Okay, cool, done.
Right. They do know people who can fly.
Yeah,
that's a good question. Yeah. Well, CW didn't have enough money for another crossover right now, so.
Oh, okay. All right.
Also, she's got her own problems over in her Earth.
Yes, yes. She's dealing with some stuff over there. But that's for another podcast. Yes.
So, when Joe finds Catelyn in the lab doing some acupuncture on herself, trying to bring out Killer Frost, which I think is kind of funny. She's just trying anything she can, including sticking needles in her face. He gives her a little bit of advice. She asks them how they go about finding a missing person, and you know what he does when he hits a wall. And he says, well, I try to attack it from a different direction. And so she comes up with an idea to attack their DeVoe problem from a different direction. These satellites, they've been thinking about creating some sort of weapon, but instead they need to be thinking about who might be able to help them. And her idea is to bring in Amunet, because her shards of metal have no tech involved, and perhaps they could be fired at the... perhaps Amunet, I guess, could fire them at these satellites and bring them down.
Yeah, again, yes. It seems weird to me. And I had in my notes when she was like, Amunet. Immediately I was like, what? That is a stretch of a thought. Like, what makes... space is far away. You know? So, like, the idea of Amunet shooting something down is weird, but I never caught the point at which it transformed into Amunet make us a grenade.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, and if Sisko can't breach to outer space, who's to say that Amunet could throw her shards to outer space?
But if you don't have Amunet, how are you going to get the grenade to outer space?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's weird. But
that's what they have to figure out.
Right. That's... Yeah. Sorry.
So, of course, she has an alternate plan as well. She actually thinks that Amunet can help her get Killer Frost back, so that's also why she wants to find Amunet. And it doesn't take Joe long to be onto her plan. As you mentioned in your faves, he totally called her out on it a little later. And so glad he did. So they go to find Amunet. She's off the grid. They went to her previous hideout, this boxing gym, and they find Norvok there, who says that she's missing. She might be dead. He hasn't seen her in, I think, months, he says. And
when was the last time we saw Amunet?
That is a good question. I don't recall specific. Oh, it was the episode in which she was trying to buy the prisoners.
Right, yes. After the fight in DeVoe
appeared,
she was like, I'm out.
And so apparently, yeah, she went underground after that. They So they went to the boxing gym. She wasn't there. Norvak said she hasn't been around since that incident. And she has gotten out of the meta-trafficking business, apparently. And so in order to find her, they know she used to be a flight attendant. I loved her flight attendant photo.
Yeah, that was great.
And they start to track down all of her past places of employment to try and figure out where she is. Joe and Caitlin go to her most recent previous place of employment to find her, and Barry's going to search everywhere else. Because he can't, because he's fast.
Yes.
And they also discovered that her real name is Leslie Jacoy.
Leslie.
She totally looks like a Leslie.
Yeah, that's great.
So, Joe and Caitlin go to this, I think it was a little grocery store of some kind.
Yeah, it looked like a little market.
I would really expect someplace with a secret back room to have somebody, you know, standing guard or, you know, working in the grocery store. But apparently their security is as good as Star Labs.
Yeah.
So they find the back room through the freezer door and discover a secret poker tournament going on, which of course is illegal. And Joe's a cop.
Yeah, that worked out.
So he cleared the room pretty quickly. And there is Leslie with a new accent.
Yeah, you know, and it took me a moment to catch on to that. Because, of course, you know, the actress, I assume she's going to speak an English accent. So when she didn't, I didn't think anything odd about it because I'd forgotten. And then Frost said something. I was like, oh, yeah, wait, what is she doing? What's going on? And actually, that was a little bit weird. She dropped it right away, and I was like, I wonder what that was for. That was weird, but she's in quite the jacket, actually.
Oh, that jacket.
Wow.
That is casino attire.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. She's running her own little speakeasy, yeah. So to speak.
And of course, when she sees them, she assumes that they're there to arrest her, capture her for some reason. They call in the Flash as soon as she starts to take out her bucket of shards. And as she throws them at Barry and he dodges them, another really cool thing happened. They turned into a boomerang midair and came flying back. And then Barry just catches it behind his head.
Yeah, what a great catch. I totally forgot about that for PowerPoints, but that was actually pretty cool. I like that.
Yeah, I love the boomerang thing, and I love Barry's catch.
Yeah.
And he says, we are not here to fight. We need your help. So they explain to her the plan after they bring her back to Star Labs. And in this scene, she asked Barry why he was still wearing the mask. And it didn't occur to me that she would totally know who he is because she tried to buy him in prison.
Yes. You know, and I thought, yes, finally, someone calls out the mask wearing.
Right?
I can recognize my friends and family members and people that are close to me simply by their body language.
Right.
And I would say it should work that way on their Earth as well, but we see how security translates on their Earth. Right. So, maybe it's along the same lines.
Yeah, he doesn't look that different when he's in the suit and mask.
Right.
And especially, he doesn't even mask his voice anymore with the vibrating thing. He just...
Oh, yeah, yeah. I didn't even think
Remember
about
when he used
that.
To do that?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, well. So she will help them, but of course, there's
a
catch. Yep. She needs more shards. And she had them in her storage unit, but someone has ransacked her storage unit. And so she needs their help to recover it, which, of course, they agree to because they need her help.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. So before they go to the storage unit, Caitlin does break it to Amunet that Killer Frost is gone and that her ulterior motives are to have Amunet help her recover Killer Frost.
Yes, you had that tech. I want to use it again.
Yeah.
Sure, you can use it.
The splicer. Now, was it a gene splicer of some sort? Metahuman gene splicer? Or?
You know what? I did not catch the full name. It was quite technobabbly.
Yeah.
something like the transmogrifying gene splicing device of plotting or something. Yeah. Yes.
But she makes a deal with her, and she says, if I can use your splicer, Killer Frost will do one more job for you.
Sounds like a good plan. Like a good bit. Yeah. That's actually a decent deal.
Right. So Amunet's storage unit, which is a shipping container. So I don't know how legit that storage unit was.
Yeah.
But it's clearly been broken into, and they test the substance on it and verify that it is venom. And so, of course, they know that it was Norvok who had broken in, because he thinks Amunet is dead. So he thinks, well, she told me where her stash is. I'm going to go get it and sell it on the black market.
She won't be using it.
Yeah. And of course, the storage unit also had this splicer in it that Caitlin is hoping to use.
Oh, yeah, that's right. That's right.
That is also gone.
Because Caitlin kind of loses it there a little bit.
Yeah. So now Norvok is missing and has gone underground with the shards. They're not showing up on any of their scans, so he knows, or they know that he is hiding them pretty well. And at this point, Caitlin is giving up. She is so frustrated, and this is right after Joe calls her out on wanting to get her hands on that tech, not just the shards for Amunet. She kind of storms out of the room and says, look, this was my last chance. Killer Frost is gone, and seems like she's really giving up hope.
Yeah, she really looked distressed. And I can understand, it was her last chance, supposedly, to get Killer Frost. But in the end, Caitlin, you're going to be okay.
Yeah. So she has a little talk with Amunet about the splicer, and Amunet breaks it to her that it never worked. She put it on her, and it did nothing. It was all in Caitlin's head.
And, you know, at that point, it was when I thought that Caitlin was going to snap and get all frosty, but no.
Nope, not yet.
Even that didn't happen.
No. So it was a placebo, and the word placebo spurs Amunet to realize that she knows where Norvok has gone. Because apparently criminals will put out a fake-out location, I think is what they called it,
to
throw off the cops. But somehow she knew what the real location was.
And, you know, that makes sense. If she's dead, then it's just her and Norvok that know. And, you know, two people can keep a secret. One's dead.
Right. I didn't quite follow how placebo got her to that point, but it got her there. So,
you know, I have in my notes, leap of logic number two.
Yep.
Yeah.
So.
But. It works, though.
Oh, it totally works. They do find him. Now, Amunet really wants to kill Norvok, but Barry, being Barry, tells her, you don't have to do that. Even after this lesson that he learned with Ralph, when maybe he should have killed DeVoe, we're still trying not to kill people.
He's a good guy. He's a good guy.
He's a good guy. And she says, yeah, you're right, it is pretty time-consuming to clean blood off of metal.
Yes. I enjoy Amunet.
So they do find this secret location, and Norvok is indeed trying to sell her metal shards to some criminal buyer. And so the team gets there, and they fight Norvok, who Snake Eye, you know, tries to spray him. Or the eye sort of shoots out at them when Barry dodges it and gets Amunet out of the way. And then he runs around behind Norvok, who falls to the ground, spraying the venom up into the air, getting Barry in the face. Which was very frustrating to me, because he's so fast, and yet he still gets sprayed in the face.
No, I'm sorry, I don't have the sequence of my scenes right. Is this the scene where she shot the metal shards at Norva?
Yeah, it was the scene, yeah.
Okay. That was the slow-mo part before Norvok shot his eye out. Oh my god, that sounds horrible.
Yeah, but before that happened, the other guys are getting away with the shards. And so, they're shooting at Joe and Caitlin. Caitlin has a brilliant idea. She's got the cold gun, which I love that they're still using the cold gun and that she's the one wielding it. But she shoots it at the ceiling and creates a giant, is it stalactite? Is that what those are? And then Joe shoots it down so that it falls on top of these guys. That was very, very clever.
Yeah, she's still thinking Frosty-like.
Yes. Yeah. So then these guys are getting away. That had been after they were getting away with it, and Joe had shot out the tires of the car. I think that was when they got out and started shooting at them. But now they have access to the trunk, which they open up, and Amina is then able to... Norvok's coming at her, and she's able to finally get the rest of those shards. And yeah, they fly across this giant room, and she totally covers his face and hands with these shards, which is very cool.
I was pretty sure she was going to impale him. I was like, she's going to kill Norvok.
But in that moment, she was listening to Barry. Yeah, she was just, trapping him in there. Trapped his snake thing against his face, which we got the shot like from his point of view. With the...
That was a good visual. Yeah.
Oh, gross.
That's just so weird. Okay.
Yeah. She really wants to kill him, and Barry's like, "No, you don't have to do that." And so finally, she's like, "All right, fine." But really, the snake has to go. Oh man, just chopped it off, and he went running. Oh, so gross. But I'm so glad that thing is gone.
That must have been so weird. I don't even know what to think about that whole thing with the eye snake, how it works. Does it hurt? Right. I mean, where does the venom come from?
Yeah, I said, are you a man with a snake inside of him or a snake inside of a man? Like, what are you?
Yeah, they're like...
gross is what he is. He's gross.
Yeah, done with now is what he is.
Yeah. So everybody's okay. Barry has phased out of the venom. He phased the venom out of himself. Like you do.
Yeah.
And so Amina starts to walk away. She's going to take all of her shards and just go. Yeah. And they were like, oh, you were never going to help us. Okay. That makes sense. And Caitlin reminds her that, hey, DeVoe's going to affect you too. Like, you'll be mind melted with everybody else. To which Amina says, that's a fair point, which, that was enough for her to help in the first place, which, we know she was lying, but also it's a really good reason to help.
Yeah, it is a good point.
You don't lose all of your intelligence.
I was pleasantly surprised there. For a while, I thought that was going to be the resolution. Amina Black, of course, was going to slink off, and they'd be in the same position they were before, because that's what's been happening all season, but... Two episodes left. They said, no, we can't do that. And she helped. That was cool. That was good.
Yeah, so she gave them a ball of shards. And from what I understood, they could take that apart. They could use those individual shards, I think.
I think the way she created it was grenade-like. You pull a piece and the rest go boom.
Really? Maybe? Oh, okay. That's not how I thought it. I thought she meant, you pull a piece off and it had enough energy to destroy whatever. Because they do have two satellites to destroy, so for her to just give them one...
That makes a lot more sense. Thank you. I have in my notes, like, why would she give them just one when she's got all this metal? But if they can use multiple pieces
I think that's what it was. She gave them a bunch of pieces, just, like, stuck them all together, for easy carrying purposes.
Okay. Thank you. That makes a lot more sense.
I think so, anyway. Somebody out in CCU land can certainly correct me if I'm wrong about that. But they now have these shards, which they need to figure out a way to use. And I do have to think, if it's not Amunette who is throwing the shards because she has control over these, if they're going to create some sort of weapon, some sort of launching device... For these shards, could they not have used any sort of metal or substance? Like, it didn't have to be that. You know, if they have to create something to shoot it anyway.
They could have shot a plastic up there and been fine.
Seriously, like whatever they come up with has to be tech free. But yeah, I mean, honestly, that kind of, I think that fed into why I didn't love this episode, because they went through all of this basically for nothing. Yes, they got these shards from Amunet, but they didn't need those particular shards if she's not the one controlling them to throw them up there.
Right, yeah.
Could have been just regular old metal or whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, maybe these shards are stronger than other things because they're like military grade, but I don't know.
Yeah, but it was never a matter of strength, you know. It was just simply a matter of getting those satellites dislodged and Like we said, there's several people that could have done it. They could have called the Legends and been like, hey, go get that. Or they could have called Ray, you know, the Ray.
They could have called NASA or anybody in the government with, like, jets and things, with guns, and, you know, just.
Yeah. Oh, no.
We've got missiles on Earth. We can shoot them at a satellite.
This is bad. My rating, I think, has dropped down to a 6.8 already for this episode.
Well, anyway, so they have some work to do in terms of figuring out how to use their shards, but at least they have some sort of plan.
Yeah, they have a plan now. Yeah. That's good. Like we said, you know, it only took 20 something episodes, but they have a plan for this season.
Yeah. And with that, why don't we jump back to the beginning and talk about Harry and Sisko's little journey?
Harry and the Harrison.
Yes. So Harry, of course, as usual, concerned about losing his intelligence. His big question at the beginning of this episode is, why isn't DeVoe acting right now? If he has everything he needs, why hasn't he done anything about it? So that's what spurs him to want to go ask. Well, I think it's Sisko. Is it Sisko or Harry who originally has the idea to ask the council? Oh, it's Harry.
Sisko.
It's Harry. Because because Sisko thought he was talking about himself, but when he said that, you know, ask Harrison.
Oh, that's what it was.
Yeah. So they first call up Harewells, who is just the most obnoxious of all of them in my mind. That accent. These Wellses are just caricatures, and they've gotten worse. And I just can't stand this convention anymore. I thought we were done with it.
I enjoyed it as a gag when they did it before, but
yeah,
like you say, they've gotten worse. But that feels almost intentional. They're like, ha ha ha. This is the joke. These guys are getting worse and worse. Like, really? Sonny Wells? Really?
Yeah. Oh, they're just terrible. So, Harewells has basically lost all faith in Harry because he is a dum-dum now.
Dum-dum, yes.
He doesn't want to work with him because he has no intelligence anymore. And come to find out, he's actually kicked a bunch of Wells's out of the council for being dum-dums.
Yeah. You know, in the beginning, I was thinking before that they had discovered that there were multiple Wells that were exiled from the council. I began thinking that's kind of harsh even for a Harry or a Wells or whatever you want to refer to them as. I know that they can be quite arrogant, but like, there was always that idea that the Council of Wells and all of the Harrison Wells would always have each other's back. They're like, that's pretty harsh to do to this one guy. But then later they were like, you know, no, we kicked a bunch out. So,
yeah. And I think it's Harewells who is the most snooty of all of them and, you know, thinks himself smarter than everybody else. So I'm sure he sees himself as being in charge and, able to kick out the lesser Wells.
Yes.
Sisko says, you know what, if he won't help, then we'll just create a new council. And so he creates a new council, which consists yes, of Matthew McConaughey / Hugh Hefner Wells.
Yes, H. Wells.
And Sonny Wells from Earth 24, who is basically New York stereotype gangster mobster Wells.
Right.
Tough guy. And French poet Wells, Harrison H.P. Wells.
Yes.
Oh, man.
HP, I didn't mind as much.
You know what? I did like him the most out of those three, and my favorite thing about him was his teeny tiny poetry book.
Yes.
It was so tiny.
Oh, he must have had just great fun
doing this. I'm sure that was a lot of fun for Tom Cavanaugh. With the different performances we have seen from Tom Cavanaugh over the years, the nuances in his performance with the variations on Harrison Wells as we know him, these caricatures,
I guess he doesn't like him either.
My cat agrees. It's just too much. it's just so silly. And right now, we're coming down to the wire. We need to defeat DeVoe. And I don't know, maybe that's it. It's just too much silly for me in this moment. In the situation that he's in, this, you know, there's a lot of gravity to the situation he's in, losing his mind. And yet we have this sort of filler, ridiculous Council of Wells episode. But I digress. He asks for their help, and these particular Wellses are willing to help him.
Yes. The reject Wells.
Yes. The Council of Rejects, as Harry calls
them. Yes. You got me at Council of Rejects.
So they basically spend their time trying to get Harry to talk about his feelings, to put himself into DeVoe's shoes, and try to think about how DeVoe might feel.
Yeah. Psychotic. Right. Is that what you said?
I think so, yeah. And Harry just isn't having it. You know, he doesn't understand how this is helping. He doesn't feel any smarter with this exercise.
Yeah. It does seem pointless.
It sure does. But at the end of all of it, when they all sort of get up and go, like they think they've actually helped him, and they really haven't. Which, and these Wellses are a little bit useless. I see why they were kicked out of the council.
Right.
So Harry says, you know what? I have wasted your time, Cisco. This has been a total waste of your time. You should have been focusing on defeating DeVoe. And Cisco is taken aback. And he says, that was really real. That was a genuine apology. And that's strange for him, because usually Harry's throwing things and angry, and there's no snark. There's no throwing things. He's actually genuinely apologizing.
He was actually concerned with someone other than himself.
Yeah. And Harry says, maybe it is time to consider someone else's feelings. And of course, Cisco believes he's talking about, you know, him or anybody else in Star Labs.
Yeah.
But no, he is talking about DeVoe. He wants to understand him. He wants to put himself in DeVoe's shoes. And so when he comes back to the rest of the team at the end of this episode, and he says that he has been trying to think about how DeVoe would feel, and that's when Joe says, well, I think he would think he's sociopathic.
That's what he said. Yeah.
Yeah. And Harry says, no, he doesn't consider himself a sociopath. But Harry says that he has this little smiley face diagram that he writes up on the board. And he says that if DeVoe is not currently acting on his plan, then it must mean that he doesn't have the one thing he cares about, which is his wife. And I thought, wow, that's a stretch.
That is written down as logic leap number 3 in my notes, yes.
I mean, it's true, but wow, how did he get there? Even with his limited capacity brain right now, how in the world? And everybody else kind of went, well, it's a theory. You know, like, nobody thinks, yep, that's absolutely it. But, I mean, he's right. Probably.
Well, you know, for me, what I'm hoping is happening is that they're telegraphing to us that Harry's intelligence is simply shifting. It's changing. It's not the straightforward intelligence of number crunching and the ones and the twos. It's much more like the intelligence of the Council of Harrisons. You know, it's all touchy-feely, maybe. I don't know. I don't particularly like that idea, but I really did enjoy his presentation with the diagram, the three simple emojis. Yep. You know,
smiley face.
I hope you guys can follow this.
Plus frowny face equals neutral face.
Yeah, like what? but it felt like his intelligence reasserting itself, but getting lost in translation. Like the ability to think in such a complex way is still there. He just can't control it. I don't know. It was weird. I did kind of like that.
Yeah. And he offered to, he's like, do I need to explain this further? I was like, no, we got it.
The smiley face. If I say so, I don't know if I really believe you. But yeah, no, we got that. Okay, buddy.
So Iris says she will start to search for Marlies. And Cisco's going to start his work on firing those shards. And that brings us to our C-plot of this episode. So jumping back to the very, very beginning, Barry is awoken early in the morning because he hears something, yeah. And Iris is not next to him. And he calls her name and she says, sorry, go back to sleep. So of course he goes downstairs to see what she's doing. And I was so thrilled to see that she was writing.
Yes, that was great.
Yeah. And she has a plan. She wants to write an article all about DeVoe and his plan, publish it to warn the city. And I thought, why just the city? I mean, it's the whole world, right, that he's trying to...
But I guess, yeah, that's why I didn't quite understand. Is she going to send it to, like, you know, the Central City Gazette? Or is she going to send it to, like, AP News?
I think she just has a blog.
That's even worse.
Yeah, well, because she was like, wasn't she fired for writing about Flash stuff? And so she just decided to do her own blog. So yeah, I'm not even sure if she sent it out. But these days, everything is internet-based anyway. You know, hardly anybody reads an actual newspaper anymore. So perhaps the internet and with social media, that is the best way to get the word out. But she thinks that if they can warn the city and expose his plan, that perhaps people will rally and help them to defeat him. And Barry is clearly skeptical.
Yeah, I was with Barry on that. In the beginning, it was just sounded really, to tell you the truth, it sounded annoying and naive. I enjoyed her journalism, her doing her thing. But in the beginning, it felt like she was overcompensating for being gone so long.
Yeah,
and I don't mean in the way that was written, because I like the way it was written. I mean, as far as her personality, she felt like, or it felt like she was just jumping in head first. Ooh, I'm a journalist. That's right. Well, let's write this huge news story. And it's like, wow. I could see that working maybe if it were just about the city and people could get out, or if it were a bomb and people could flee or something like that. But when we're talking the entire Earth. And as far as most people are concerned, all of existence, because, you know, they don't know about aliens or alternate dimensions, and there's no escape. That just seems like it's going to set up a scenario of panic, and it's just going to make things worse.
Yeah, and I think that's what Barry's worried about, is inciting panic and, you know, and also putting the team in danger. If DeVoe gets mad about this article, he knows where they are, you know. He knows they don't have any security in Star Labs. That guy can get in there at any time.
Yes.
But he told her that later in the episode, he told her that he wasn't sure about this. He thought before she brought it up to the team, maybe, you know, just think about it a little bit. And she said, you know what, you're right. I'll finish the article before I bring it up to the team. And he's like, oh, that's not exactly okay. All right.
Totally backfired.
Right. So... she does finish the article, and again, Barry says he thinks it's too risky. She really wants to arm the public with facts, and he wants to shield them. But she ultimately says, you know what, Barry, it is your decision whether or not I publish this, which I kind of like, because, you know, he still, you know, should be kind of a team decision. You know, everybody in the room is involved in this fight, so I don't think it should just be up to her if she publishes this article.
Because we are Flash, you know.
Right. We are the Flash. And she reminds him that he is, to the people, a beacon of hope. And that she just hopes that he will have faith in the people to do the right thing.
That was nice. That was cute.
Yeah. Which, I do like it when we're reminded from time to time that Barry's superpower is hope.
Yes.
At the end of this episode, when all is said and done, he approaches Irish and says, you know what? I do have faith in Central City, and I think you should publish this article. And he says to her, we are always stronger and better together. And by that he means, you know, everybody in the city, which is a good lesson that I hope Team Flash remembers in the future, that they all need to work together.
Yeah.
We'll see. She posts the article, and late that night she wakes him up, and the city is responding to her article, and they are responding with the locations that they have seen him in. Now, whether or not they've actually seen him, we don't know. Again, we have that question of, is he using his real Clifford DeVoe face? If so, why? Why would he do that? Even if he's trying to find Marlies, you would think, like, she doesn't want to see him right now, so he should disguise himself if he wants to find her.
Yeah.
You would think.
I wonder if even a single one of those spottings was true. Sightings.
Right?
True.
You never know. I mean, it's just like you ask for tips on any crime, you're going to get a bunch of false tips and maybe a few that are real. Maybe we'll find out in the next episode.
And I guess the real point isn't that DeVoe was around, because we know he's around. I guess the real point is just that Barry has faith in the city. The city's a good place that can be trusted with dangerous information. I guess that's what we should take from that. I don't know.
I guess, yeah.
Yeah, sure, why not?
So, and then, of course, we got that line from Barry about DeVoe not being able to hide anymore, which is just the opposite of true.
Yes. I don't even understand that.
But. Yeah, come on, man. Except for the fact that he can change his face.
He's got something like, what, 13 powers now? And
right. Yeah, one of them being shape-shifting, so
you're not going to find that. Well, it'll be interesting to see.
Yeah, and of course we know that he's often one step ahead of the team anyway, so he may have even anticipated this article being written, and maybe he's going to let himself be seen out there just to throw them off and put them on a wild goose chase.
Yeah, yeah. You know, and that is a very interesting theory. The thing is, we've got 2 episodes left.
We sure do.
So next week can't be a filler. We need to know where DeVoe is and what he's doing.
Yeah, well, the title of next week's episode is Think Fast. So I am assuming the thinker is in that episode.
Boy, do I hope so.
Yeah. Well, that was the end of the ep. So we do have a couple of feedbacks that were sent to us, a couple of audio feedbacks.
Awesome.
How do you feel about listening to those?
I would love to.
Excellent. So we have a couple of very different opinions in these feedbacks. So I'm going to start with X-Force 11.
Oh, will you help me? Can you help me? You don't need to be helped any longer. You've always had the power to go back to Kansas.
I have.
Then why didn't you tell her before?
Because she wouldn't have believed me. She had to learn it for herself.
No. Yes, it was the Wizard of Central City tonight on The Flash. This is Jeff X-Horse 11 leaving my feedback. Yes, it was an interesting episode, and I kind of get where they were going with everything, but I don't know. It kind of felt like a filler episode. It was fun, and it was fun to hear that Caitlin has the ability to call out Killer Frost. She just has to seek it out, but I still don't get the whole I know they're trying to get Iris back on the journalist tip and getting people's reaction in the city. I just kind of don't buy it because people would be panicked. I just don't know. But it was okay episode. Funny here and there, but to me it just felt a little like a filler. All right, those are my thoughts. X-Force 11 out.
Oh, Jeff.
That was an excellent intro to that feedback.
That was wonderful.
I'm with you, Jeff. I also think this felt a lot like filler, and we, you know, a lot of stuff that happened that we didn't necessarily need to see. The Council of Wells stuff, just, I'm so over it.
Yeah. But you know what? That being said, this also felt deliberately like filler.
Yeah.
And what I've noticed from the rest of the season is that they have listened to the things that people want. We've noted that several times. They've blatantly called out several issues that people have mentioned throughout the fandom. So I have faith in them that they're going to deliver to us something great. And since this one felt like deliberate filler, I'm willing to believe that the next two episodes are going to be great. That they're going to be like just outstanding, I hope.
Boy, I hope so. we've got a lot of ground to cover. I think my issue with the filler, I mean, we've had quite a lot of that this season. You know, we had 12 bus metas to get to. We had lots of episodes that didn't have much to do at all with the Thinker. I think, and maybe this is just me, but I think these seasons are just too long. I think 23 episodes is a few too many episodes. You know, it's a lot of story to cover.
I almost feel like they would be better served having two major story arcs, one in the first half of the season, one in the second half.
Yeah.
And they could even be intertwined in some fashion.
Sure.
But there really is no need for filler because you could just, I don't know, I would say that you could just simply write the story to take up the space. Yeah. But that's kind of the whole different writing style. That's more of a writer's room style. And I think this season it felt particularly heavy with filler because the parts that weren't filler were given to us in the same fashion that they would give us filler. Like, the filler normally is the meta of the week.
Right.
Well, our major storyline was the meta of the week. So yeah, we got extra filler.
That's a good point.
I don't know.
Yeah.
But yeah, thanks, Jeff, though.
Yeah, and I'm also with you with the those two, you know, both Caitlin and Wells had that, oh, it's been inside of you all along sort of thing, and I don't know. I just don't know how I feel about that.
And you were there? And you were there? Yes, yes.
Oh, boy. Well, we have a very different opinion from Amanda.
All right.
Hi, this is Moonlight, Amanda, and I enjoyed tonight's episode of The Flash. I was glad that the Thinker and the Mechanic were not in this episode because I needed a break from them after last week. I enjoyed seeing the Council of Wells again and enjoyed our team working together to help Harry. I especially liked his smiley face equation. And I loved seeing Amunet again. I'm curious as to how they're going to use that ball of metal shards. We'll see. I thought for sure Killer Frost was going to come out when they were under attack. But nope, still no Killer Frost. I am curious as to what's going to happen next week. My son had a good point of, why is DeVoe not disguising himself? He has that ability from Ralph to change his appearance. If everyone in the city is looking for him, why is he still using his own face, even in the preview for next week? Maybe he's just overconfident, doesn't think he needs to hide. I don't know. But good episode, and can't wait for next week. Thanks, guys.
Thank you, Amanda.
So Amanda really liked it.
You know, that was a perspective I hadn't considered before. It was a pretty heavy Marlies and DeVoe episode last week. Mm-hmm. And if I could see how someone could be happy that they're not in this one, they're relieved to not have such a deep spin on the episode. So I can understand that totally.
Sure.
But
yeah, I miss them, I mean, though, because, you know, in my mind, they are, you know, they're the main villain this season, and we're getting down to the end. So for them to be totally absent 3 episodes from the finale, I don't know. I think, you know, last week set us up for some really great stuff between them. And as much as I didn't love a lot of what they had done with them last week, I was kind of looking forward to a lot of that stuff. So here's hoping we'll get some good stuff with them next week. But yeah, Amanda's got a different view, and that's great. That's the thing about these shows, is that everybody has a different thing that they love about them, and they've got a little bit of something for everybody.
Yeah, good stuff. Thanks, Amanda.
Yeah. So yeah, we have 2 more episodes this season.
Wow.
We're getting two. Down to We've the wire. Far. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah, so I think that just about does it. We look forward to our Facebook discussions with all of you in Central City Underground for the next couple of weeks. And, you can find us on Twitter at TheFlashGSM. iTunes will, give you the podcast, as well as GoldenSpiralMedia.com. And yeah, we'll see you here next week. Until next time, this is Julia.
And this is Jada.
Signing off.
Signing off. Have a good one, guys.
Are you a podcaster who loves creating great content but gets overwhelmed by the audio editing process? Are you a business professional or an entrepreneur that wants to start a podcast but aren't sure where to begin? You need Pro Podcast Solutions. Pro Podcast Solutions has a robust suite of services to equip podcasters and help podcasters create better content than ever before. Visit ProPodcastSolutions.com today and find out how you can get your first episode produced for free. That's ProPodcastSolutions.com.